Lettre pro de la radio, le podcast.
World Dab General Assembly at Pullman, Paris, Tour Eiffel. WDAB17 is the Twitter hashtag if you want to tweet and check out all the tweets that are happening here in Paris. 200 experts from across the industry to discuss the future of digital radio and one radio and podcast session brought to you by lalettre.pro, the French daily radio industry news website. We are with three persons: Robert van den Heuvel, communication manager at Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, and Lawrence Harrison, market development director of Digital Radio UK, and Just Kaismans, I don't know if you pronounce the S at the end, communication director at Febiac Belgium. So Robert van den Heuvel, you are responsible for all communication and events of Fiat, Alfa Romeo,
correct,
Lancia, and
Lancia,
Jeep.
Lancia, naturally, Italian brand.
Okay, it missed a C, that's
C is
why.
Missing, yeah, okay.
Lancia, it's, yeah. Lancia, I didn't know the brand. So, tell us about automobile and digital radio.
Let's say I see a direct connection between, there is already many love for many years between radio and cars. When you're sitting in the car, you're listening to radio. That's the standard for many years already. The transition, what you're seeing more, that customers will have much more a need. If you look up to the past, for example, in the 80s, living in the Netherlands, we had only one main radio station where everybody was listening to. Now it's moving up to a spectrum of 20, 40, or even more, up to 60 radio stations. And I fully believe in the launch of DAB in our market. Since DAB provides you digital quality, and we really learn from customer experience, when people switched over to DAB, they will never go back to the FM frequency anymore. Another thing we were struggling also in a simple country like the Dutch market, which is flat, so you would receive that everybody could receive FM optimal. The only thing is, with a small part of the Netherlands, which is mainly the south linked to Belgium, it was so small that only the public radio stations could receive over there. So the commercial only had a coverage of between 50-60%. So they are now also ramping up, and the competition is becoming, let's say, even more equal, which makes it more sensitive to compare everything, and that's exactly where the consumer are going to. If we're looking up to our brands, that's where also consumers really asking now, okay, I want to make the next step. I'm buying a new car, I want to have streaming audio, but I want to have also DAB Plus in the car.
Okay, so that's really the trend that you felt.
Correct.
And you're taking care only in your in Netherlands?
Yeah, correct.
And not in other countries?
No.
You're talking about Netherlands?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Lawrence Harrison, Digital Radio UK, you manage the coordination of Digital Radio UK's public affairs activities and on building partnership with a similar European national organization. How is it regarding the automobile industry in UK?
Well, in the UK, we've been working with the car manufacturers there for a long time, and that's one of my main responsibilities. And when I started 7 years ago now, only 5% of new cars came with DAB standard. And through collaboratively working with car manufacturers, we've managed to get to the stage now where 90% of new cars come with DAB standard, and I'm sure in the next 2 years or so we'll get to 100%. So for the UK market and UK broadcasters and radio industry, that's incredibly important, because we now know that, for example, last year 2.3 million cars went onto UK roads with DAB standard, and that digital listening in the car now accounts for 30% of all listening to radio in the car. And each quarter, that's helping to boost digital listening overall. That's good news for the public service broadcaster, that's good news for commercial radio broadcasters who can monetize that. But as I say, it's been down to collaboration, and what's interesting is that we're now seeing that growth across Europe. So
yeah.
I also chair the World DAB Automotive Group, and last year, for example, we saw almost 5 million cars across Europe go into the market with DAB standard. That was 40% up on the year before, and I'm sure we'll see a similar gain this year. So just as we heard, car manufacturers are now putting this in, they're building it in when they're launching a new model. Typically it will come with DAB, because more and more that's what consumers want.
that's what consumers want. But in some countries, I was talking with Renault last night, and he was telling me that until they're not obliged to do it, they won't put it in the cars. But all the manufacturers are have it. They can add it if they want, and they decide on which country they just put those maybe 10 euros extra to have the AB plus receiver.
You're absolutely right, and there are country differences, and it's not just a case that you go and speak to a car manufacturer, a broadcaster, and say, please can you put DAB in, and they'll go and do it. They respond to their market, respond to their customers, and that's only natural. So in the UK, for example, there are a number of different factors that actually got us to the situation we're in today. And that included having a very clear roadmap with political support for a digital future, very clear investment in DAB coverage, and particularly on the roads. That's not surprising. And we also ran a lot of communications on air, talking to customers and listeners about the importance of when you're buying a new car, for example, make sure it's got DAB. Ask your manufacturer. So we were also trying to push and support the manufacturers who were doing it. And that was really important. So you're absolutely right to point that out. All those factors need to come together. But the reason that we're seeing growth in Europe is that increasingly they are. But there will be differences as different markets are at different stages of growth.
I think what is
really important for us, what we see in the communication, let's say in the differences, we have a huge collaboration also in the Dutch market. But in the small car segment, especially, for example, in our case, a Fiat Panda, this segment is so price sensitive. So around 95% of these cars were sold without a radio. It doesn't mean that these people don't listen to a radio, but they buy it aftermarket or they switch over from their old car because they are so price sensitive, because they say, okay, guys, I don't have any money anymore to build up a factory radio in it. So for these people, you really say, okay, we can push, but they will never, they will take it from the aftermarket, and this will take a while.
Yeah, okay. Joost Kessmans in Belgium and the automotive industry and digital radio, how does it look like? Because things are moving in Belgium.
Things are moving, but only since last year, let's say. We were going nowhere until last year. Then we got in contact, we put our heads together and we said, well, how can we manage to have a clear commitment from all parties? And I think our commitment as being the National Federation of the Automotive Industry is getting the message through to the customers, but also to our member companies. And the enthusiasm I see with Mr. Van den Heuvel, for instance, in Holland, from the Fiat Chrysler Group, is not shared by all members, alas. So we have some work to do, but things are moving. We are getting somewhere. We are using, for instance, our Brussels Motor Show, over 500,000 people, to inform the customers. Choose whatever color you want. Choose whatever car you want. Choose whatever model you want. Make sure you have DAB.
Yeah, because they can add it if they want. I mean, they can have it in any car today. And that's a lot of work that has been done by UK. Because they needed it, and now everyone can benefit from that.
Well, yeah, UK is showing the example. They're almost at 100% equipment rate in new cars for the moment. So it's possible, but we have to make sure we get the message through, and we have clear commitments on shutting down FM. We have to inform lease companies, well, in 4 years' time, when you get this lease car back, residual value, will be mainly influenced by the fact if DAB is on board or not. Bear it in mind.
Yeah, in France, we have a lot of radio stations that are skeptical. They're skeptical because they don't realize that all the manufacturers today are really able and have in first mount DAB plus. How is it possible to communicate? Because isn't it a lack of global European communication? And is the European trade body can do something? Or how is it possible to communicate a little more widely that DAB Plus today is in all cars if they want to add it?
A lot
of people don't know about it.
Now, the main thing what we also experience, because I'm working now for DAB Plus together for around 4 years, and around 4 years ago nobody even know it. So people don't see the advantage yet, because they are used to it to the FM frequency since the 60s or even the 50s, so they are used to that. So to make the switch over, why should I need DAB Plus? And that means, yeah, let's say corporate everybody together, like you're also doing in Belgium. That's the best way. And then at least the consumer experience it, and since you experience it, yeah, you see the advantage in it.
I mean, just to build on what you said, our experience in the UK is that even when it was available as an option, not many people take that option, if we're being honest. So, you know, we prefer it to be as a standard. I mean, our own estimates, speaking to the car industry, were that years ago, when we had quite a large number of cars had it available as an option, maybe 5% of consumers took that option, because they've got a huge list of options to choose from, and DAB is only one of those. So we knew from the start it had to be standard. So you're right, there is absolutely a communications task, and I think it's within the industry.
Yeah.
And there's no mystery to how you do that. You know, you use the networks you have, such as World DAB, other trade bodies, you talk directly to broadcasters and to manufacturers, and that's from some of the work that we've done in the UK, but we're now doing more and more of in World DAB, where we're going directly to the car manufacturers and talking to them in the head office about the direction of travel across Europe. You can't replicate that with anything else. You have to put the hard yards in, as we say in the UK. But actually, what we know, what we can see from an event like today, this is the biggest World DAB General Assembly they've ever had. And the reason for that is because we're starting to see the momentum Europe-wide. And that's important. So naturally, when that happens, you're going to hear more conversations about it. Communication will flow from that, but you have to put the work in.
Okay.
I even had that struggle internally with our product managers, because it's per country in our cars it's available, technical, no issue. But the product manager has one responsibility, to make a competitive car. So it can't be more expensive than your competitor. Okay,
yeah.
What should you do?
Yeah.
You have a full list of options, and then as I'm also responsible for advertising, I prefer more to go outside, let's say, with a sunroof than advertising with DAB+, because what's the value of a sunroof is 10 times higher than DAB+. So they were even struggling. But if you convince them and tell them the advantages, then they really switch over, and they are now very positive about it.
So we have still some very good news, the switch off of Norway and the announcement of switch off of Switzerland and UK maybe coming along as soon as they reach 50%. Denmark as well announces some eventual switch off after the 50% level. Is it a kind of earthquake, or how do you see the switch off in your country, in Netherlands? How was it welcome?
Yeah, for me, let's say we were really struggling with, especially with our commercial radio stations, that they can't compete in a normal way with the public radio station, because they don't have a full coverage. With DAB+, they have a full coverage. If I'm traveling I'm living in the middle of the Netherlands now, I'm traveling to the south, which is a small country, I'm traveling 100 kilometers, I really lost the FM frequency of a commercial radio station, which is one of our popular one in the Netherlands. So the need for DAB+ is really there.
But the switch off, did they hear about it, or is it not something that they talked about?
It's not something they talk about. On the other hand, let's say our government is really political in this, and they really leave it in the middle. Is it our role to still say a date for switch off, or is it from consumer need off? And then they look to other countries, and I fully believe in the English model, in which they say, okay, when we reach a certain threshold, let's say like 50%, then we are going to talk about switch off.
Okay, so a little shaking, but not earthquake. In UK, how was it welcomed, the digital switch off on Norway, which was a surprise somehow?
I mean, in the UK, we see it as it was talked about in the session before, it's really useful. I mean, they've gone first, they've been very brave, and we know we're going to get a huge amount of learning from that. And there's a high degree of awareness in the UK, both among industry and political circles, and also some in the public as well, that this is happening, and they're the first to go. And we're very clear that next year, once that switch off has been completed, you know, Norwegians will be coming to the UK, talking to us and government about the learnings, and that will help inform what we do in the UK.
Mm.
One of the things we know is that the lessons that we learn there are extremely important. However, every country, every market is different. That point was made earlier on today. So in the UK, for example, we have a huge number of cars on the road, sort of 37 million vehicles on the road, as compared to about 5 or 6 million in Norway. So the scale of the car conversion that we need to undertake is massively different, and we have a hugely complex industry that's going to achieve that. Having said that, what we learn in Norway will help us put the things in place to ensure we have the capability and the capacity to convert every vehicle on the road. So those learnings are already valuable to us.
Yeah. In Belgium, did you hear about it or not really?
Yeah, still a bit lukewarm, but what's interesting in Belgium is the fact that getting a broadcasting license is now linked to the fact for main radio stations to go digital also, and that's important. They don't have the choice anymore. They must go digital, and that for us is quite appealing in the sense that it gives us the certainty that the investment we make, the effort of convincing our product managers, our manufacturers, our salesperson people, etc. We're convincing them that yeah, this is the way to go, and it will happen. And clearly, it will. We hope it happens rather sooner than later. But we're not at the level of the UK. But hey, why not attempting a catch up move?
What is funny is that if we talked about 2 years ago, when we talked to Switzerland, when we talked to Belgium, they will say, "Well, we wait for France," which is not the case anymore. France is not the core motivation to go on digital, and that I think is of course if they will be in it will be easier for Belgium and Sweden, but it's true that before it was really the key thing that will make them move. Now it's not that anymore, so it doesn't matter actually if France is going in it or not. I don't know if you agree, but decisions were made without France.
Yeah, certainly, and especially the French-speaking part of Belgium is always looking towards France, which sometimes is a good example indeed, and it's very interesting. But hey, we have to make our own decisions, and I think that showing by example, we see it happening all around Europe. We have the Norwegian example, we have the UK example. Things are clear, and if you see, like this morning, the explanation about the data used in connected vehicles, we might need a redundant system communicating information everybody needs to know without depending on IP or other protocols.
Yeah. And then what worries me, especially on European level, for example, when we see one of the other advantages of DAB Plus is also saving energy, because broadcasting via DAB Plus is much more greener than, for example, with the current FM frequencies.
And also data push possible for the cars, because
correct,
a lot of cars now need to have some updates, and DAB Plus can bring that.
Correct.
Is it something that you put into consideration?
Yeah, let's say as car manufacturer, but what I'm expecting, especially from a European community, as we are now one, except UK, sorry for that, but... on the other hand, there is no European push for that. And that wonders me, because that should even help to make, let's say, the next step quicker. Because, for example, if you are going above southern of the Pyrenees in Spain and Portugal, they even don't think about it.
Because that's also in terms of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making some savings if you go through DAB Plus, because if you need to have a 4G card on your
correct,
your car, okay, they send back the information. But you, if it's only for software updates, that's enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We did some road testing in the UK. We did a 1,000-mile road test where we sat in a car and we were listening to DAB as standard in a new car, and we had two smartphones streaming off different mobile networks, and we drove up to Scotland, into Wales and back to London, 1,000 miles. DAB over the 1,000-mile trip, we lost signal 10 times.
Yeah.
We lost it over 100 times on the mobile networks, and it was a really poor experience. Now, having said that, if you're in a city with really good 4G coverage, actually, streaming's okay.
Yeah.
As soon as you get out of a city onto a broader road network, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that just, for us, it just proved the point that for a good digital radio experience in the car, you have to have DAB.
And they will not do any effort into all the areas in terms of covering, because they can't. It's too expensive. Way too expensive.
And as you say, rightly say, for the consumer, there are data charges to consider, you know, when you're streaming. And we looked at some of those costs as well, and it runs into sort of £5 to £10 if you're listening for 2 hours, and it's free to air DAB.
Even I can confirm, I'm driving from the center of Utrecht in the middle of the Netherlands to Amsterdam, which is really a suburban area. I even have struggling with receiving 4G continuously.
Yeah,
we're now hearing the bell, so you have to speak.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We just 1 second, we take a picture before you go, and a little jiggle, and have a nice end of a world DAB. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Philippe.
La lettre pro de la radio, le podcast.